First Corinthians, the chapter is 15. The text that was appointed for me tonight was the 15th chapter of the book of First Corinthians and verse number 58. Verse number 58. For the sake of time, we'll move forward. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." My assigned subject, remaining steadfast in an unstable world. It is certainly true that we do live in an unstable world. And it's certainly a challenge that the Christian face every day, because there's something going on all the time. All the time. So there's a challenge, the challenge of the Christian life. And in living this life, it's a challenge. But it is certainly true that we do need something to help us to be able to hold on. We need some kind of fixity, something to help us. We need to know what the Lord has for us, something to help us to hold on to the end. And I want to try tonight to try to say something to encourage you, and hope that you'll be able to see the point that I'm trying to make in this lesson that will give you the reason why you need not to give up, and why you need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, because the Lord has not forgot about you and me. The church at Corinth was a congregation loaded with problems. There were divisions in the church. Sin was being tolerated. False doctrine abounding and strange. Fleshly practice dominated their worship. Apostle Paul wrote this letter to address their problems and to bring the Corinthian believers back into line with the biblical teaching, the biblical faith, and practice. The chapter before us tonight is an example of what I am talking about, according to verse number 12 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There were some in Corinth that denied the reality of the resurrection. So here Paul spends the remaining of this great chapter declaring the awesome doctrine of the resurrection and laying a solid foundation for our hope as Christians, and why we should remain steadfast while living in this unstable world. But you see, nowhere else in the Bible can we find such a clear and complete statement concerning the death and resurrection of the Christian and our future hope in Christ Jesus. Here, Apostle Paul, he concludes Apostle Paul concludes his thought with the verse we have taken for our text today. This verse touches on the hope we enjoy as children of God and on what that hope accomplished in our lives. You see, this verse can help us dedicate ourselves to remain steadfast, stable before the Lord in absolute hope, my brothers and sisters. As the Lord gives liberty, I want to preach on the subject that, as I said, a sign to me, remaining steadfast in an unstable world. But look around, my brothers and sisters. Look around at the world today. We might conclude that there is not much room for remaining steadfast when we look at the world. But you see, there is war, there is crime, there is sin, depravity, and the rest of the horror of this modern life can leave us feeling as if there is no hope for the future. We feel like it's all over. But let me tell you something. This lack of steadfastness can stifle our desire to serve the Lord. It can cause us to come to the place where we say, what is the use? Well, from this verse, my brothers and sisters, I want to show that we do have a reason to remain steadfast in an unstable world. Number one, who are the people that are to possess this steadfastness and stableness? You see, Paul called them my beloved brethren. That's what he called them. He says, my beloved brethren. In other words, he is referring to the children of God, not just the saints that are at Corinth, but the children of all ages. Of all ages, my friends, he is talking to you and me, those of us who are born again. Talking to all of us, it is about all of us, you see. And when you look at John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, you know, Jesus talked about being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus talked about us being born again. And even when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see that the Corinthians had been born into the kingdom. They was in the kingdom. And Paul also discussed the fact about it will come a time when the kingdom will be given up and given back to the Father. See, he talked about that. See, you see, the Christians are a people delivered by grace. As we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through number 10, they were a people saved out of the darkness and depravity and death of those of their sin by the amazing grace of God. See, they have been brought into a personal faith. And relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, they had been delivered. These guys was in the kingdom the same way that those Christians at Corinth, in Colossae were. They was in the kingdom. Look, I'm in the kingdom. The same kingdom that Paul talked about that Jesus Christ would give back to the Father. Look, I'm in that kingdom. In that kingdom, see. But the Bible says, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and I was translated into the kingdom of God, their son. But the question is, have you been delivered? Have you? You see, the Christians are a people destined for glory. They are destined for glory. For glory, I mean. So, as you read this chapter 15, you come to understand that God has some big things waiting for his people. Whether we leave here by means of death or when Christ returns, we are a people possessing a powerful hope of a brighter and a better future. We have that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 49 and through verse 57, we have the promise of the resurrection and the changing of our mortal body. But notice something here. Notice something that the Apostle Paul said there in verse 49. He says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we have also borne the heavenly." Now, in other words, this life, he says, in this life, men live in the physical body, which is the image of the earthly. But in heaven, Christians will live in the spiritual body, which is the image of the heavenly. In other words, this verse teaches us that at the resurrection, Christians are will receive the spiritual body. That's what that teaches. But here, from verse 50 to verse number 57, I want to give a short synopsis of the activity of the resurrection, of the resurrection bodies being changed to put on immortality. The physical body cannot exist in heaven. In other words, flesh and blood can't be in heaven. So Paul explained the change in the body will occur at the resurrection when Jesus comes the second time. However, some Christians will be alive then. Now, those who are alive when Jesus comes will not die. They will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, from the physical to the spiritual body when the Lord comes, you see. All Christians will have a spiritual, incorruptible body in heaven. Death will be defeated, and will cease to exist when the resurrection takes place. You see, the victory was achieved through the death of Jesus on the cross, my brothers and sisters. At the resurrection, the complete victory will be evident. You see, the promise of the resurrection and the changing of the body is not to unbelievers, a non-Christian. It is for Christians. And number two here, move a little bit further. In view of this, of what all I have said, in view of this, of what Christ will do at the resurrection, every Christian should continue to be faithful servants. Based on all that the Lord will do for you and I in the resurrection. Since you know all of this now, how good the Lord gonna change your mortal body, you're going to put on immortality. Those of us who remain steadfast, since the Lord gonna do all of this for you, the change demands starch labor. It demands constant and steadfast labor from you and I. The believer is to be steadfast and unmovable. Well, why? Because he has such a glorious hope, the hope of being resurrected and given an incorruptible and immortal body. The hope of this glorious resurrection should stir the believer to be steadfast and unmovable in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This should move you and I. The word steadfast, it means to be firm, fixed, to be determined, purpose, faithful. The Christian is to stand fast and fix in his belief and labor for the Lord. Determined to live for the Lord and to carry out his purpose or his plan for the Lord. Whatever the Lord's plan or purpose is, you need to say, listen, Lord, based on what you are doing, what you're going to do for me, and I know you're going to do it, I believe it, listen, I'm going to do what you want done. We need to see this. It's important we need to see this. He is to be faithful to the end. And the word unmovable means to be unshaken, undisturbed, not move from a place. Don't be moved. The Christian believer is not to be inconsistent in his service for the Lord. And many times we're too inconsistent. We're not stable enough. We're easily moved. Am I right about it? He used to stand as solid as a rock in his belief and in his service of the Lord. We must allow nothing to move us from our determination to serve the Lord. We must not let nothing stop us. If ever time that, listen, I'm going to be stubborn, this the time I'm going to be stubborn. I'm not going to move. To remain steadfast is to abound in the work of the Lord. It's to abound in the work of the Lord. You see, the word abounding, it has the idea of exceeding. A fixed amount, overflowing, exceeding. Church, when we consider what we have and who we are by grace, we will be motivated to go all out for the Lord. See, this is what the Lord did for us. See, the Lord, he lavished his grace on us. He lavished his grace on us when he saved us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The hand do is to go over for him. God gave his only begotten son. God went overboard. Jesus went overboard. He lavishly poured out his love. And he saved you and I. Notice two significant points here. The word labor, it means toiling and working to the point of exhaustion and fatigue, to the point of collapse. The word, the second word is always, mean never to cease, never stop, never slack up, never quit, never retire. Keep in mind what I just said. Keep in mind this information here. Keep in mind it there. So you see, in service, you see the resurrection is the motivation. It is the stimulant. It is the booster. It's the motivation of the driving force for always abounding in the work of the Lord. I know what I'm going to get at the end. Somebody said, well, Brother Whitney, you can't see it. Yes, I do. Oh, I see it. Well, how you see it? I see it through the eyes of faith. For I walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, I see it. He promised me that. He said he's going to give me a new body. You're going to see that in a few more minutes. But that scripture, most scripture, back that up. The resurrection in that day. It's the motivation. I said it is the driving for always abiding in the work of the Lord. Preaching is a work. What do you say, Bloom? I said preaching is a work. I say evangelism is a work. Let me tell you something. Shepherding the flock is a work. Know what Paul told those elders at Ephesus, the leaders, Acts 20 and 28? Know what Paul told the preachers, 2 Timothy 4 and 5? Teaching the saints is a work. Learning God's word is a work. Loving is a work. Being a good Samaritan, being a good Samaritan is a work. Believing is a work. Repentance is a work. Benevolence is a work. To be a steadfast Christian, one must exalt himself, his talent, his resources. You mean to tell me my resources have something to do with my money? But I guess when I obeyed the gospel and became a child of God, it came to be no longer my money, but the Lord's money. Is that right? Gracious alive, yeah. Woo! I know how we live about that. The We get tight about that thing. His resources, but not only that, his time. Well, why are you giving so much time over yonder? Why are you giving so much time over there to the church? Because you know what? I am looking forward to the resurrection. Why are you giving all of your means? Because I'm looking forward to the resurrection. So to be a steadfast Christian, that is, one must exalt himself, his talent, his abilities, his resources, his time, his soul, and his body in the work of the Lord. John 9:4, where Jesus talks about work while it's day. When night come, no man can work. He said, go to work. Paul told the young preacher to watch thy in all things and do affliction, do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4:5, he said, work. And he talked about prayer and work too, also over there in 2 Thessalonians 1:11. And in Ephesians 4:12. So you see, as Christians, or as Christian believers, we should be investing in nothing but Jesus. Our prayers, our praise, and our thanksgiving should be given hand and foot as we lay everything we have and are, everything we have and are at the feet of Jesus, or at the feet of our Redeemer. For that's what he is. He's our Redeemer. He redeemed us. The Christian will be rewarded if he remains steadfast in the faith to the end. What a challenge to the believer. What a challenge. Yet, how could less be expected when the promise of being resurrected and given a new body will be given to a person? How can less be expected? Something to think about, isn't it? The believer's labor will not be in vain. That is, left empty and unrewarded. Not be left. So you see, the Christian believer who is steadfast, who is unmovable, who is always abiding and laboring in the work of the Lord, who will be rewarded, resurrected, and given a new body, is blessed. In John 15:9, Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue in my love. You know, I like the way Jesus said that, as the Father has loved me. Jesus said, the Father has loved me. He said, so have I loved you guys. I love you all. Now, the same way all this happened with us, and the way I loved you, and so, listen, I want you, to continue in my love. I want you to continue to love like this. Apostle Paul said, and let us not be wearied in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. You'll gain. But don't give up. If you faint and give up, you can't receive the crown. He also stated, but watch thy in all things. And do affliction, do the working of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4:5. The Hebrew writer says, and he declares, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run. Lay aside the weight, the thing that's holding us down. Let us lay it aside. Get rid of that weight or the sin that so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Apostle Peter encouraged us in 1 Peter 1:13. He says, therefore, your mind must be clear and ready for action. He says, place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring you when Jesus Christ appears again. Put your confidence completely in what He will bring you. Of course, I used that verse, bringing it from a different translation, the easy-to-read translation. Because I wanted to break it down, because I want you to understand what God is bringing us. He's bringing us something great. Apostle John said, behold, I come quickly. Behold, that fast, hold that fast thou hast, that no man take thy crown from thee. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast with thy hand. Let no man take it from you. Don't let no man take your crown from you, Revelation 3:11. What you have, you be steadfast in it. Hold on to it. Don't let nobody take it away from you. If you're not careful, folks will take it from you. The devil is busy. If you're not careful, he'll take it away from you. In conclusion, the fact that Jesus is coming quickly necessitates that Christians should be watching and ready. You see, our remaining steadfast and true to God will give us consolation, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes the road we walk is hard. Sometimes the burden we bear are heavy. Sometimes the work we are called to do seems endless and unrewarding. Sometimes our walk with the Lord is intensely labored, united with troubles and toil. Work that results in pain and agony. Sometimes our walk with the Lord is just like that. There are times when it seems that no one notices and no one cares. There are times when you may feel unappreciated and that you are carrying out a thankless task. But in those times, I want to say to you, walk in confidence, because the Lord is watching, and when he comes, he will reward you. He will say thank you. If we walk with him, work for him, and wait patiently for him, I want you to know the day will come when he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful with few things, but now I will make you ruler over many. Enter thy into the joys of the Lord. You hear him say, come on up just a little bit higher. I don't know about you this afternoon, but I'm looking forward to that time. I'm looking forward to come on up and get my crown. I'm looking for that day when the Lord will change this old body. He gonna change it. That day will come when I will put on that immortality. That day will come when I will have that body that won't have any pain anymore. Oh, this will be a durable body. Oh, you can't tear that body up. Or it's a body that you can't destroy. Come on, right on. Oh, you can't destroy that body. That the Lord will give me in that day. See, I ain't got nothing to worry about when that time comes. That's why I'm doing all I can now to work my soul out and work it out with fear and trembling. My salvation out with fear and trembling. Love and mercy and what he's going to do for you in the end.